You are listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's time for our April edition of Campus Connection. I'm your host, Angela Denning, and I'm joined here in the studio by Superintendent Erica Kluepainter. We'll be discussing the school board meeting tonight and what's on the agenda, and we are expecting School Board President Sarah Holmgren to be joining us as well. Hi, Erica.
Hello there.
So just a reminder to folks listening, the school board meeting starts at 6 o'clock this evening. It'll be live in person in the middle and high school library. Mm-hmm. And KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting as usual, so folks can just listen on the radio or stream us online at kfsk.org.
Absolutely.
So looking at the agenda, looks like the board will be considering video surveillance of public spaces mm-hmm. on campus. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, this is the second reading. We looked at it initially in the last board meeting, in addition to a couple of other policies that were included. This has been part of the AASB, you know, recommended policy changes that they put out. This is a good one to have. We have had some sort of outdated policies that just haven't kept up with the times as far as equipment and technology that we have on site. And we've actually had the system in place. I'm trying to remember now. It was one of our projects. I feel like it's been probably 4 years or so, maybe. I know we've talked about it here, too. I can't remember the exact date, but I feel like maybe 4 or 5 years we've had the system in place. So it's important, I think, to just have, you know, we have signage up and all those kinds of things around the campus and any, you know, letting people know that there's camera surveillance available, but or that it's on, I guess. So it was important, I think, just to make sure that we had a policy that is matching, you know, what we're doing already. So, yeah.
Okay. So did the school district have a policy before? This is just updated language?
It's a brand new one based because there's so many more things kind of affiliated with it. You know, there's some rights for what constitutes records for people and also just, you know, in general, making sure that people are aware that it's there and what that means for them. So, yeah, we had some language and another policy that was not just didn't really apply to video footage or video cameras being available. They're probably all of us know from being in other places and stores and that sort of thing. You see them now a lot. And so we just wanted to make sure that it was, you know, accurately representing what we've got going on there. So and Alaska Gateway had done some of this work already. So it was sent out as a model that we could use. And so we did that.
Okay. That is, we have a new phone system here. I didn't know it was going to ring. And, you know, usually when you're on the air, it doesn't ring. But this is new this week. So we're all trying to get used to it.
That's okay.
So Sarah Holmgren has joined us in the studio. Hi, Sarah. Did you want to add anything? The only thing we've touched on is the video surveillance, and she mentioned that it's a new policy, but the cameras have been up.
Right.
And to stress that this is just public areas, like they're not in bathrooms or anything. This is just kind of entrances and exits and mm-hmm. places that there could be problems of break-ins and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think haven't had any recent problems, but it's always nice to have in public areas only where the community, whether it's the community or our students, just keeping them a little bit safer, mm-hmm. you know, if there was an incident or just even, vandalism. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have used it for that often. In fact, we just used it this last week with regard to a situation with some vandalism that took place with some chalk writing and that sort of thing at the playground at the elementary school, and we have cameras outside. And so we use it a lot for things like that. You know, there could be something that's happened behind the school building, behind the high school. So there's cameras outside. And sometimes the police request those because they do point at different areas. And so if it's something that can be helpful or if a student, you know, is involved or even another, just anybody, you know, we have that system available. So sometimes they'll ask us if we have footage as well. So it's a lot of times it's stuff that's outside. They are in the hallways too, but we don't really use it that often, honestly, inside the building. But it's often more for things like maybe vandalism or you know,
things outside of the school hour.
nefarious activity on the playgrounds or whatever. So it seems like that seems to be something that comes up often
at night or the mm-hmm. weekends when they think people aren't looking.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let's see. And then also on the agenda for the school board are updates to the district science curriculum. And it looks like that's for the whole, all the schools, mm-hmm. all three schools. What will change? How can you explain that, Art? Sarah, are you on the committee for that?
I wasn't on the committee okay. for the actual part of picking or making those decisions, but I was able to attend the work session on Friday. Myself and Carrie Case were able to attend. And so we spent about 2 hours, I think it was, mm-hmm. Total, going through K through 12. And some of it is remaining the same because there wasn't a need to change it. They do have new science standards that are coming out. So some things in the high school updated textbooks for that. Some of them was shocking to find out one was 35 years old.
And, it was time.
Yeah, more than time. And so some of it was the giving that staff, at least at some period, they were reviewing the curriculum to make sure it's meeting the new science standards that have come out. And some of it is just, you know, changing how we, you know, they're in the elementary school, they're keeping the same science kits. They're sticking with the program because they really like it and because it meets those needs already. Middle school is moving to a different program, but it sounds like it's very similar to the grade school, the K through fifth grade, which are these kits. And some of them they were able to kind of put together because of the equipment that was already on hand, and it's just more of an organizational, and then coming up with a program that was, it was kind of fascinating, actually. They teaching it as a student, you know, someone having an illness, and then going through this whole process of the scientific side of things and figuring out what illness this pretend person had. And so you're covering a whole lot of things. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then high school was, they're splitting up, instead of just chemistry, there'll be chemistry one and chemistry two, and those will become part of the requirement. Of having chemistry as well as biology, freshman and sophomore. So there was a little bit of shuffling and change, but the content is similar. You know, that wasn't significantly changing. It was more of updates, but also making sure we're in line with the standards so that if you've got a ninth grader in Alaska, you can expect a ninth grader in Mississippi to be being taught very similar material in biology, you know, that kind of a thing. And that's what the standards are for, so that it's some sense of continuity nationwide. And so we're just making sure we're staying aligned with those.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah, my daughter loved that assignment. Oh, it was sixth grade and figuring out what the illness was.
Yes.
She talked about it, I don't know, days, many days, yeah. And just kind of narrowing it down. It was just this mystery that she was very into.
I thought it did a really good job. I mean, mm-hmm. I thought this is where you engage a whole variety of kids, not just someone who's in, you know, quote, into science, but kids that like mysteries, or kids that just, you know, it happens to be science, but it's also a mystery. So it's, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great way for the teachers had done a great way of engaging all different types of interests with the end result of learning something, you know, which is the wonderful part about some of a lot of our teachers, if not all of them, how creative they can be.
Mm-hmm. But seems like maybe science would be a subject that might have been a little challenging during the pandemic and all of the protocols because mm-hmm. of these like hands-on activities in groups, for example, when
right.
kids kind of getting close together and figuring something out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so we're, you know, you can kind of move back toward that, but this was probably a way of getting that accomplished without having to do as many labs or hands-on.
So those kits that you mentioned, is that kits that the state would provide or
no,
do
we
provide?
No, we have to buy them. We have to buy them. And so the kits are to complement whatever chapter they're in, you know, so that you can do hands-on learning as well as just your traditional, especially for the upper grades, textbook learning lecture. But they found that they had quite a bit of the materials already, whereas elementary school is very I don't want to use the word mapped out, but I guess I am, is that it's specifically designed, these kits are specifically designed to complement the actual unit that they're in, so that it's mm-hmm. it's nice for a teacher to be able to pull it out of that kit and say, okay, this is what we're doing, and I've got all the materials, the hands-on stuff right here without having to run around and try and gather it up. So they have those. They felt like they had enough of them. It's a system that they've already had in place, but middle school was going to be moving toward that, and then of high school, there's still a lot of hands-on anyway, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, that was more of a textbook update because they were some of them were pretty old.
Do you have anything to add about the science curriculum, Erica?
Nope, I think that's it. I think it just coming in line with those next generation science standards that have been adopted at the state level a couple of years ago. But of course, just being trying to deal with our curriculum cycle, you know, in the middle of COVID and everything else that's been going on. So it's been good timing to be able to do it. And then Alice Kumps, one of our science teachers, has been really involved at the state level also with kind of aligning the actual documents at the state level with those national next generation science standards. So she is very, very familiar with them and has done a lot of work at the state level. So we appreciate that as well. Gave up some time in the summers mm-hmm. and all of that. So that's also been super helpful. She's been able to kind of help align things more kind of K-12 that way. And then as Sarah mentioned, they did do some reordering of when courses are being taught. So historically, physical science is always taught in ninth grade, and now it will be eighth grade. They've reordered some things based on the standards, and it kind of staggers out though over the next few years. So, you know, if kids are already in the system in high school, you know, they'll kind of graduate out with their process, but it sort of moves those classes in, so it will bump them down. So, you know, the next year's freshmen will have biology as freshmen instead, and you know, so it kind of staggers mm-hmm. staggers those classes out a little bit. So it was interesting just to see the whole scope and sequence that way. So
yeah, things mm-hmm. are changing. Mm-hmm. And then there's new courses mm-hmm. at the high school, and one is required for freshmen, and then another one is an elective social studies. So one would be kind of seems like just a get ready for high school class.
Yeah.
It's called Freshman Success Course.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the idea for that come from? And is it replacing something or just?
Well, they're moving. So historically, freshman PE and freshman health have been back to back, and they're both required. What they're wanting to do now is replace an elective with this in the freshman year and then move health into the sophomore year. So that would allow for a larger span between, you know, specifically health that's taught in the middle school and then having another really good focus on health as sophomores rather than it all being kind of clumped together and then having 3 years without. That was one of the things mm-hmm. I think they talked about. And then the other piece of it was that they've talked for probably 3 or 4 years, honestly, or even longer, about, you know, how do we really help our incoming freshmen? How do we set them up the best that we can for success, not just in high school, but beyond, and mm-hmm. helping them sort of see what things could be helpful for them navigating high school specifically, but also, you know, what are you looking toward, you know, in your future? Are you looking toward a certain type of career? Are you looking towards, you know, further training in some area? Are you looking towards a 2-year program or a 4-year program or whatever that's going to look like, and really focusing on that, you know, on the front end? And then also just, you know, how do you navigate, you know, social life in high school and changing relationships and travel for activities, and what does that all look like, and maybe challenges that might be coming your way, you know, trying to deal with all the things that come with being a teenager and, you know, all those challenges that come at you, and giving a kind of a focused time to be able to process through that. And then they had based it sort of on this School Connect. It's called a program. They had a trainer. We brought a trainer in August of this last 2021, I guess. And he came in and did some training with our secondary staff, and they've been using some of the lessons this year, but they want to be able to have more time. They want the kids to have more time, more focused time for that. So, yeah, so I think it's something that they've been talking about, but I think it's finally mm-hmm. come together. So I don't know if you have anything else, Sarah, to add.
Well, I had a chance to actually look at the textbook. I borrowed it a few days ahead of time to look at it. And as I joked, only half joking, at the board work session, this would be a good class for the entire community to take, because it also involved with social emotional learning, but also how to be kind and how to interact with people when maybe you don't agree with them. And it has just a whole component of mm-hmm. of just kind of being a good human. And I think we struggle with that the more online we are, and then particularly the last couple of years, because I can even see it in my own middle school, or going from a very social life in sixth grade to not for mm-hmm. a good couple of years, and trying to almost reintroduce that idea of going and socializing with friends mm-hmm. and not it being as remote, I guess. And so they're headed into their freshman year. And then one of the other statistics that was said at the work session was that there is a statistical probability that if a child or a student has a difficult freshman year, there's a correlation to having difficulty as an adult, that it kind of sets you up for, unfortunately, good and bad, but sets you up for more challenges if you have a difficult freshman year. Mm-hmm. And so this curriculum was pretty interesting in that it was like Erica was saying, was talking about how the importance of doing well in school and that it's not just about going to college. It's also doing well because that sets you up in the workforce, and that sets you up in if you go to trade school or something, that it's more, you have to think of those things at 14, not at 18. And although you could probably argue parents should be and guardians should be fulfilling that role, sometimes they don't listen to us, but they'll listen to a staff member or a school, a teacher. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, 30 years ago or 40 years ago, you could argue, well, why are we even teaching this now? You know, that should be taught at home. But it's like, the reality is it's either not being taught at home or they just won't listen to you. Yeah. And so they'll listen to a teacher. And I think if you can set them up to be successful their freshman year, then you know, or at least give them the skills. It teaches even study skills, some of those things that we think they might have when in reality they don't. You know, I can't see that it's going to hurt any of those students. If anything, it's going to benefit the majority of students. And maybe it's redundant for a few because they already have those skills, but that's okay. You can sit through it and learn. There's always something to learn. And that's, I found the book very informative, mm-hmm. and I thought, this is pretty interesting. And it also even has a whole component of breaking down stereotypes. And I thought, you know, is what we see in the media. So it touches on some of these other social issues that, not issues, but social things that a 14-year-old may think they need to be a certain way when really it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it was, stereotypes.
But it's vanilla, I would argue it's vanilla enough to address most concerns a child might have at 14, that it's general enough. And,
mm-hmm. In a safe environment.
Right.
And then, also giving opportunity and time for kids to use that program Zello that I think we talked about maybe this last fall at one point that was new this year. That's a program that's designed to help kids kind of interest inventories and that sort of thing. It's an online program where kids can be thinking about what strengths they have, what areas they may that may kind of lead them down a certain road, you know, towards, oh, you're interested in these specific areas, or you have strengths in these specific areas, you might want to consider, you know, these 15, you know, career opportunities. And it can be anything. I mean, they're all open kinds of things. So I think it and they actually can start that in middle school. So that also gives kids a time, you know, for that too, to just be thinking about what do I want to do with my life? And hopefully they're, you can't wait till you're 18 to be thinking about where you want to go next. And that includes thinking about classes you want to take in high school and how do you want to move one direction or another, or do you want to be more broad in it, you know, and look at CTE courses, look at shop courses, look at science, you know, what kinds of areas can, do you need to be thinking about if you're finding what your passion is. And maybe you don't know what your passion is. Some people do, but not very many. I mean, lots of kids when they graduate don't necessarily know what their, you know, their passion is, but to be focusing on it a little earlier is also really important. So that would be another component of that class too. So
kind of sounds like it's giving high school, it could give high school more meaning, mm-hmm. to the 14-year-old, you know, this, yeah. is kind of why it matters, mm-hmm. kind of a broader perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, than just another 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, and I think growing up on a small island, I mean, I know I grew up a long time ago, but you are only exposed to so many potential jobs out there just by living in a small town. You don't realize that there's others out there. And so that's why I was kind of excited about that other program, was just that especially if a kid thinks they're interested in something along those lines, and all of a sudden it exposes them to maybe some job industries that they would never have even thought of. Because it just happens to not be here, you know, so.
Right.
That's part of it, too.
And then another new course is an elective social studies course for the high school. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it does a deep dive into World War II and the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to, like, middle school aged kids. And, you know, it's just something that adults know a lot about. But because it's just such a specific war in our history. And
right.
You know, such a impact on the world. But so mm-hmm. how did something like that come about? Like, let's have a new elective at the high school. Is it triggered by a teacher saying, this is really interesting and I could set up a curriculum for this? Or mm-hmm. is it something that's floating around the state and we latch on to it? Or how does that work?
It can be both. Sometimes they are born out of something that's come up maybe at a larger level. this one was particularly proposed by Mr. Engel, by a teacher, and had come and has come from maybe, you know, interest that has been expressed either by students as well, sometimes families, you know, it comes up through conversations with families too. That's how we ended up with the elective, with the Vietnam War class and global conflicts. That's another social studies elective. So I'm trying to expand offerings for kids that they might be interested in. And so that was one that came about a few years ago. And so this is another one that came along those lines. I think there was probably a little bit of interest that came specifically out of close-up, I would say, actually, too, with the Holocaust course in particular, because the new Holocaust Museum in D.C., the last few groups that have gone back to close-up have been able to experience the instruction there, and actually some of the materials, the primary sources that have come from the Holocaust Museum. I mean, they provide all kinds of things for schools that are, you know, have been very well vetted and are primary sources that can be used for instruction in high schools. So that's where some of the materials have come from too, and really just kind of that interest from a teacher and or students. So yeah, I think it'll be a valuable course.
And does that mean that another elective needs to go away to have that on the, how does that work?
I think this was one that they were talked about doing it every other year. So it might be alternating with, like, 1 year there might be global conflicts and Vietnam War, and the next year it might have this option. So if somebody in a high school student might have an opportunity to access one or both of those, depending on, you know, which year, maybe it's their sophomore and senior year or something like that, you know, just depending on what their schedule looks like. So.
Well, if people are listening to the news, there's talk of, you know, World War. I just wonder if some of the kids are hearing that. It might be kind of timely, mm-hmm. I guess, because it's kind of coming up on the national level right now, and just kind of putting that to perspective, what that looked like the last time, you know?
Yeah.
That it would be the same. I just mean, you know, what does World War mean? What does that mean?
And even just some of, the current world where there's accusations of, you know, why Russia went into Ukraine is claiming that there's Nazis. And it's like, well, let's dive deep. What does that really mean? And who are they? And what is their MO? And it's certainly, the further away we get from it, it's easy to just lump it in as another unit, probably in world history. But it was massive. And I was pretty excited to see it on as an option for a class, just because there is so much you can go. And I often think, if you are able to dive deep at a young age, then you're more apt to be empathetic moving forward as an adult if you've been exposed to that. If you know if this is the only exposure you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Resignations. Mm-hmm. Is it kindergarten? Both kindergarten teachers or first grade?
First grade.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I wrote it on one page. It's kindergarten, one page is first. So, but Debbie Eddy and Laura Allison mm-hmm. turned in their resignation. And then Debbie's husband, Jamie, mm-hmm. was a fourth grade teacher, and mm-hmm. he resigned same year. So do we know how many resignations are at the elementary at this point for this year?
I think that's three.
So it's just three. There's just those mm-hmm. three that we named. Okay.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yep, and I think, I guess the letters are out there as well, but just I think Jamie and Debbie are looking at some grandkid options in Juneau is where they're heading, so we're certainly sad to see them go, but we understand that. And I think something that's just happened during that, we were just having this conversation on another call I was on with other districts about staffing and just what people are seeing, and it does seem like these last couple of years, I think, have maybe brought some things into focus for people in different ways too. I think people are looking at work in different ways. I think people are looking at family. I think people are kind of taking stock of their lives in different ways. And, you know, of course the work is important. And of course we value these employees and wish they were here, but we understand that, you know, I mean, I think people are balancing a lot of different things right now, and it's not just about work. It's about a lot of different things. So, so we certainly wish them all well. And Laura was new to the community. She and her husband, they're new to the community. She was a great addition. We certainly have enjoyed her, you know, being on our staff. And I think they're staying here locally. They have another business, you know, that they do. And so I think that, you know, just a different focus, and certainly wish her well. And she's been a great addition. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely been in the national news mm-hmm. as well. People, almost like a mass exodus in some ways mm-hmm. from people's jobs, just making those kinds of life choices after the pandemic
yeah.
and having different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the timeline look like for those kinds of things? Is that putting it out right when you find out, you put it, start listing it
mm-hmm.
as an opening, and then
yep.
just see what happens?
Yep, they're out there now. We actually had posted an elementary, just a sort of a general elementary position, when Laura Allison had turned in her resignation a few weeks ago. And so we started that process and put that out there. And we didn't attach a specific grade level to it because we just didn't know. And so then when Jamie and Debbie made their decision, then, you know, we had just already had that posting out there. So we do have applicants. We are actually going to be starting to do some interviews this week and early next week. So we're hopeful, you know, that it's a crazy time. I mean, the job market is pretty crazy, pretty volatile. Lots of movement around the state and around the nation in the education field. You know, we've had a counselor position, as we knew Miss Turner, you know, had turned her letter in to move back home to her family in Colorado as well. And very, very challenging to find counselors. So that's also just a big school counselors. I mean, you know, that's a kind of a very specific niche too. And so, so challenging. You know, there's a lot of need out there in lots of districts kind of coming out of the pandemic, not just from the social emotional support side, but still helping kids figure out what they're going to do next. It's, you know, it's a big part of that job. And so we're still on the hunt for that one as well. So,
but you have decided on a music teacher for the district,
mm-hmm.
right? I think I saw that mm-hmm. online.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
Is that the only one that we had
that we're hiring new at this point?
Yeah, maybe that's the only one I was thinking. Sorry.
Chelsea.
That's a district wide mm-hmm. position for all the grades, right?
Yep, it is, and. I think, you know, this year was challenging just because we lost somebody who had been here so long, Mr. Lenhard, when he moved to Ketchikan. And then, you know, we had a couple of months where we had teachers that were on site supporting the program, and they were amazing. And then we found Mr. O'Brien, who's been just a great fit as a long-term sub, and he's looking, you know, elsewhere to go back towards his family in Chicago. And we knew that. But anyway, he's been a great fit. And so Chelsea Corio is, she is married to someone from here. So the name probably sounds familiar to people. And she's been in Cordova for quite a few years, I want to say like 15. So she's coming with great experience. She knew Mr. Lenhard too. She's, you know, very familiar with Alaska and music and Southeast and all of that. So we're super excited, and she's very excited to come, and has, you know, had great recommendations and references and all of that. So that's kind of a little match made in heaven. It's always nice to have people come home and understand Petersburg and want to be here and bring mm-hmm. all their experiences to us, so.
And have roots here where, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A couple others on there, too, mm-hmm. I think. We've got our high school special education teacher who is married to the Alaska Airlines new manager.
Yes.
So that's kind of exciting. She's also an Alaska teacher, so she's familiar with Jill.
Yep, Jill Dolbert, and she's here today. I just
Oh, is she? Oh, yep, good.
I just met her in person. She's actually on site this week. She's here, so she's... She's going to be a high school special ed teacher, and Miss Cindy Fry is moving into Bridget Woodstock's job. So she'll be the special ed director and the district test coordinator.
Too.
Mm-hmm. So that's another new one on our list.
So then that's kind of just shuffling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, and then I guess with Jill Lenhart moving over to the elementary school, they hire the high school.
Yes.
High school English teacher who is related to someone in town.
She is.
You did hire somebody?
Elsa Winterstein is her name, and she's a young English teacher, brand new, moving here to town, and she is, related to another one of our teachers on staff and coming to us from Montana.
Funny.
And we're very excited about her coming too, and she's brand new. So lots of support already happening and outreach with her, with our current language arts department, with Mr. Shumway and Mr. Ward and Miss Lenhart. They're already working with her and helping her try to make that transition. So we're excited about some new people coming to us, and we feel really fortunate to have found some really qualified people. Like I said, it's a pretty challenging market right now for teachers. So we're excited about that, and it does make it nice, I think, if people have a little bit of a connection here. It does. That's kind of what we've seen over the years.
It transitions a little easier. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Island living.
Yeah.
Well, anything else that we should touch on about tonight's school board meeting before we go?
I don't know if there's anything else specifically. Karen Morrison will give an overview. There continues to be kind of some questions, I think, out there about funding and federal funding and how it's being used and where it's coming from and why it's here and all those kinds of things. So we put together a document and attached it to this agenda, and Karen will be there just tonight to kind of talk that through as well. Just, you know, kind of how it's been since 2020. I mean, we're now in 2022, and we have some federal money that was through the ARPA, you know, through the American Rescue Plan, that was actually a third round of funding that's come in this year that can be used through 2024. So we just wanted to provide some specific information about that and why it's here and what we're using it for, which is very specifically designed to provide support for students. And so it is, we have dedicated the majority of that funding to teachers and staff, and we will continue to do that moving forward, because that's a big component of it, is looking at student achievement and any sorts of learning loss or disruptions that have happened over the last couple of years. So so she'll provide some more information about that tonight too. And I think
that document is, you know, although it's been in our budget all the time and this whole time, and with budget revisions, and even I feel very well explained during board meetings, we're hoping with the people, if they have a question, instead of speculating or guessing, they can just go to the website and they can look at where everything, and it'll have links to other spots so that they can see that there's nothing been hidden. It's all been up front right from the get-go. And just kind of dispel inaccurate information that has been going on for the last couple of years. That's my little take on it, is that although we may have said it, people don't always hear it, you know, and this, they can refer back to this.
Absolutely.
And do their own pick through it.
Yeah, I think I saw a sneak peek. It was a pie chart, and kind of a breakdown of how it all goes.
And it's been something that's come from, it's not just here. There's been, and it's a lot of money. And there's always sort of those questions about how things happen and why. And the Department of Education and the state has been very forthright and forthcoming as well. And all information can be available for people to go look at it. You can look at our grant applications publicly. The Department of Education has a whole new kind of dashboard out there too, that you can go look at any district in the state that you want to, with regard to how much funding different districts have received and what they have spent it on. It's all very public. You can search any district in multiple places. So I think it's just important to just have it out there and be transparent about it. And that's what the department's doing and districts are doing. And we're going to continue to do the same, as Sarah said. So just putting it out there again.
All right. So that's happening at the school board meeting tonight, which is at 6:00 in the middle and high school library. KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting. Anything else that we need to touch on?
I don't think so.
KFSK will be broadcasting it. You can stream us online, kfsk.org, or just turn on your radio. That starts at 6:00. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.